This show is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. Our show is about helping souls grow, prosper, and evolve. And every gift ensures that we can continue to do this. So we thank our generous supporters and also ask if you would like to be a part of supporting this important effort to bring this message of truth to the world. Please consider heading to experienceofthesoul.com/support to be a part of supporting us by being a regular patron or making a one-time gift. Blessings on the journey, dear friend.
Natural Awakenings Magazine, Zen Living Realty, and Support Tech Staffing present The Authentic Spiritual Journey, a weekly show featuring real and practical spiritual conversations from diverse perspectives here on the Experience of the Soul podcast channel. Today, episode 127, we welcome back to the show, Sister Jenna. And now your host, Reverend Cynthia Alice Anderson.
Hello and welcome to The Authentic Spiritual Journey. My name is Cynthia Alice Anderson. I'm the host, and I'm here in 818 Studios with my producer.
Hello, everybody. This is Dave Croft. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of The Authentic Spiritual Journey, episode 127. I'm so excited about our guest that we have today. But well, I guess if they clicked on the podcast, they know who the guest is.
I know, but we can still be excited. We always are to have our dear friend.
Sister Jenna, welcome back to the podcast. We are so grateful and thankful to have you back.
I just feel like I want to move in with you guys.
We always do get a vibe going when you're here. That's true.
Yeah, I think the last time I came, I had just finished with the production with John Legend and Theda Prince Love One Another. Uh-huh. You might not know this, but I was on the red eye, and I came into Florida that day, remember?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you recalled. I was just like, I don't know. It was all of your love that just kept me going.
Well, that and happy.
Yeah, happy, yes. Happy is our little pup, by the way, everyone, if you're trying to figure out what we're talking about.
Yes. Well, it was a gift having you here and, connecting our energies. And I feel that the work you do, sister, is really powerful, and I love how it connects with what we do here, and that, you know, we're all one in this work. And I think, you know, it doesn't matter if you're at a church, a synagogue, a meditation center, as long as your goal is peace, oneness, you know, forgiveness, soul growth, then we can easily connect.
Indeed, I totally agree. And everything is about soul to soul. That's what I wish that we were seeing prior to just a few weeks ago when we had our elections in the United States, that, you know, we have the capacity to be different in our views and opinions. Look at the both of us.
Sure.
Very different in many ways, but I've never even thought much about our differences. It was always more about the love and what we could always do together. And I just always wished that others could understand how powerful and how nurturing and how abundant that is when we come from that place.
Totally agreed. Totally agreed. And it's a heart-centered place. And there's to truly be there, I think you really must know yourself and to know the divine in you as you, because we know there's nothing to fear, right? And so if I speak to someone whose opinions are different than me, my first goal really is to be curious and to and to see how did they, you know, get there rather than to shut it down. And I think if I'm not clear who I am, or I feel unsure about who I am, or you know, I've just taken on someone else's belief, then I'm on a shaky foundation.
Very true. I mean, we've just passed through Thanksgiving, and just imagine how many families sat at the table with a sense of a resistance or stress, thinking about who they voted for, or the fact that America is again encountering this particular climate where it still hasn't found its peace.
Yes.
You know, it hasn't found its peace, and everybody says stuff, you know, everybody wants to be right, but nobody wants to be loved.
Yes.
And I think there's a difference between being right and being love with your right.
I agree.
And perhaps this is the opportunity that we are being gifted with in these times.
Yes, I do believe there is something very profoundly spiritual that is being asked of each of us. And, you know, ultimately, I think we would agree that our job is to, you know, live from soul rather than ego. Well, everything we're seeing is this, you know, kind of egregious playing out of the egoic, limited, you know, self that's anchored in the third dimension, that's anchored in the mind, you know, that's anchored in right and wrong. And when in fact, you know, we're called to live from this place of infinity within us. And so, I do think, yes, there's a profound, profound spiritual opportunity right now.
Well, the thing is, we get it. And even as you mentioned about the third dimension and about us being grounded, I was even thinking about a particular sector in our culture in the United States. And they are large in number, where they don't get what we're talking about.
Oh, no.
And I want to invite everyone to think about this with us. Why? Okay, so let's put ourselves in a position of being at home with our spouses or with our kids. And they're doing something totally off the wall, which I feel isn't in alignment with the energy of the home. I yell, I scream. Nobody makes me accountable for creating that peacelessness in the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. I do it 4 times. I do it 10 times. And my family also responds to me the same way. So then it almost feels like we're all the same. You're not better than I am. Who are you to think? And then we end up in this duel of seeing whose anger can win.
Right.
And then it becomes almost like a nature within you. Mm-hmm. And just imagine I walk into your home, Miss Peacemonger, right? Completely silent, like Om Shanti, hi. Or if you're Islamic, Salaam Alaikum.
Alaikum Salaam.
If you're a Christian, I'd be like, hey, what's up? You know, hallelujah, you know? And there is like a pause because you haven't met somebody so calm in a long time. Because you've been so used to the rage and the anger. The point that I'm making is one of the reasons why I feel that we're not shifting yet for that big chunk of that part of America, which includes all of us perhaps, is that we don't have a lot of individuals out there who can walk the talk, who aren't just about what they read in their scriptures or their books or motivational speakers, but they're not living it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people really need to sense and feel the experience of a human being who speaks a scripture, who walks a scripture, who does a ritual, who does a penance. I think the only way we can pause the anger and the hate that's going on in the minds of our fellow brothers and sisters is to have more examples of living proof that when I tell you that I'm a loving person, it shows when I'm sitting and having dinner with my enemy.
That's what's been tough in our household, you know, because we are politically, you know, opposed to, you know, it's not terrible, but we're different. Me and Shannon versus Judy, and then, you know, before her, Larry. And so we had to put a moratorium on all that stuff, and it kind of just seeped into the ground soil of our relationship, if that makes sense. That kind of the animosity born out of political differences just found its way into wherever there was a crack, you know, or crevice. Am I making any sense at all?
You are. And the thing is, one of the things I've been observing, it's not about, we actually miss the opportunity to recognize what we have to transform within ourselves when we say, well, the Democrats are like this, the Republicans are like this, or here are my political beliefs. Put aside all of that. Who are you when you show up as a Democrat, when you show up as a Republican? And if you show up with lies, deception, hate, fear, anger, prejudice, disdain. I don't care if you're Jewish, Indian, Black, White, Republican, Democrat, political or not, that's not who you are. And that's not how we were designed. And so when we're sitting at the table and politics comes up, one of the good things that people can say is, look, I'm going to share my political views, but no, if I come out of my energy of love, could somebody around the table please signal me? Mm. And I think that can shift the whole conversation and just create that kind of a, it's okay to be different because this is a democracy. And here are my views. Maybe enlighten me and tell me, did I miss something?
Yeah, I think that that can be very, very powerful. I actually did experience a situation very, very similar to that a few weeks ago. And I found it troubling the way some wanted to react. And when, you know, I didn't fly into reaction, you know, based on statements and bumper stickers and slogans that people were doing, saying that it was like, oh, I really think when you are living from love, when you are living from your true self, that those kind of reactions really are nowhere to be found, because those are really made from the limited self. And I think, you know, us getting too hooked in to all the messages via media, you know, Facebook, news, that what happens is our whole culture is getting brainwashed into, this is what it means to be a Democrat. This is what it means to be a Republican. You must say and do these things rather than coming from, you know, say what we value, like who we are, like what you were saying, Sister Jenna, that, you know, this is who I am and this is what I think. But what we are having right now is more rhetoric than more coming from real self. And I think that is, in fact, you know, the largest problem. And if I said, you know, to some people, well, try to come from love, you know, they would scream, it is loving, you know? So I think the individual themselves, you know, I can, if I'm that, then there's a chance that somebody else around the table will move into that.
When I say, you know, try to come from love, or I try to communicate that, there are times that I've also checked myself and I've wondered if I was just being dismissive or woo-woo. Mm. And I've actually caught myself saying, to be honest with you guys, I'd love to be able to come from love, because how I'm feeling right now doesn't feel like me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just owning
it. And there's something, it's, you know, like there is a lesson in that deep sense of inner honesty and integrity in your imperfections.
Yes.
That I think it offers people a permission to try to be a better version when they see you as an example trying to be a better version. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yes, especially you as a figure of, you know, basically you are an archetype of spiritual leadership. And for you, who is supposed to be, you know it all and always come from love, to, you know, the guru syndrome, that for you to be able to own when you're not there, I do think is super important.
I do too. And the reason why, I think it's my blessing, everyone. I think it's been my fortune that I have ego, but it's not in that area. I don't have the ego where I need you to recognize how powerful and how godly and how anointed I am. I felt that my ego got a blessing from God that kind of waved the magic wand and said, okay, know that your perfection will develop as a result of your honesty with me. Mm-hmm. And that has been my legacy on my journey. And it has made it much more genuine for me on the path that I'm on. But it has also garnered such great friendships like you, you know, and everyone else there in the work that you're doing. That I think there's a need for us to be so truthful.
Yes, I agree. I think the honesty and integrity piece is really important. And there's a way, as you said, to really speak that and to be in love and to just be, when we are honest with where we are, that is being loving without having to blame somebody. And I think culturally, that's another thing that's happening is if we have a feeling, you know, the first thing to do is blame another or blame the other side rather than, wow, I'm not there right now. And, you know, so I'm going to hold my thought for a moment.
Yeah. And I've found myself becoming the thing that I say I don't like about them. Like you mentioned fear and disdain and, and I've definitely experienced all of those things. Mm-hmm. And so here I am.
Well, it's like when you hear and you talk and you feel the same thing over and over again, it starts to weave its energy into your fiber of your personality. Mm-hmm. For example, I can't go anywhere and not have somebody mention to me about the leadership of the United States. And I'm like, to be very honest with you, everyone, I'm sorry to tell you this, but I don't tune into that anymore. And I'd really rather talk about a whole bunch of other things that are important to me. And what had fascinated me is to observe that for over 4 years, this whole country and the world has just had a particular soul taking up space in their consciousness, yes, rent-free, and has been really penalizing people's happiness and bliss. And we can't blame anyone outside of us for that. That's on us because we haven't been paying attention to who we need to be for ourselves.
That's very true. That's very true. It's been actually a way of checking out of ourselves. This it's an addiction to the drama. It's an addiction to
outrage.
Yep, to outrage. And see, if I'm outraged at you, then I don't have to look at me. You know, that's what I see. And I agree, sister. I've said that many times that I was kind of over here chuckling as you were saying that, because I keep saying, you know, there is more going on in the world and we're missing out on some of the great news. We're missing out on growth possibilities. We're missing out on what we could be creating for good by, you know, by this kind of incessant angry mind chatter that's all about one person. And of course, what we know too is that it just feeds into it even more, that even when the energy is in opposition, it's still giving that person, that office, energy that it doesn't deserve.
Absolutely. Not only is it giving it energy, but it thrives on.
Yes.
I mean, you know, there are people who thrive on the energy of light, and there are people who thrive on the energy of an absence of light. And an absence of light simply means your love has been turned down, your peace has been turned down, your purity has been turned down, and you're not able to see clearly the long-term picture here. Mm-hmm. And if we can turn up the light wattage in our own consciousness, then I can see way ahead into the future and not live my life with so much fear.
Yes.
And so when we look at the amount of fear that's in the world right now, I just look at it as people's lights are turned down. No wonder they can't see.
Right.
You know, so they're just walking on eggshells, you know, and they're just struggling. And sometimes if the humility is not there, they don't talk to the right people for support or guidance.
Very true. And, you know, as you were speaking, I was thinking that I'm not sure all of our listeners know the location of the Meditation Museum.
I don't even know where the Meditation Museum is either, you know. No, it's been closed. We have closed it down for the last 8 months. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been opened. Mm-hmm. And so far, the spaces are still there. But what we've been doing, a lot of online programs, Mervyn, Cynthia, and we have a program now called The Next Normal. We first started it off called The Spiritual Vaccine Hour.
Oh, yeah.
So after 4 months or so, we were growing. And I went, I don't know if I want to keep doing spiritual vaccine, but what's the next normal? And so we wanted to take it to another level and look at, you know, what do we prepare for now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, post-COVID, post-election, post-me.
Mm-hmm.
And so the evening programs that we do online on YouTube, every night at 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. EST, is really there to help us to kind of navigate our lives with more clarity and with more vision. But the meditation museums are still available so far.
Mm-hmm.
And folks can definitely visit us online if they go to themeditationmuseum.org. Mm-hmm.
And just so you know, we'll put the information for that in the show notes. And I just was thinking that partially because of the location, partially of where, you know, your offices are, that, you know, you're so much in the hub.
That we're protected. I know. I've just been putting light, and I continue to put light over it. And so far, we've been protected. And of course, I think a lot about my other friends and entrepreneurs and small
yeah.
businesses that are struggling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can't feel okay even if your shop is okay.
I know, exactly, exactly.
You know, my mentality is like this. If I'm not okay, I don't think you're doing so well either.
Right, right. Yes, we're all in this one together for sure. Well, let's go ahead. We're going to take a short break, Sister Jenna, and we have a few messages, and we'll be right back.
We'll return to the program in just a few moments, but first, we wanted to give a special word of thanks to our podcast partner, Natural Awakenings Magazine of Central Florida, Greater Orlando. Each month, Natural Awakenings magazines across the country take a practical look at the latest natural approaches to nutrition, fitness, creative expression, personal growth, and sustainable living. Natural Awakenings magazine is a free publication and is available in selected stores, health and education centers, healing centers, public libraries, and wherever free publications are located. You could learn more, including advertising opportunities for your business, by calling 407-628-0705. We'd also like to give a special thanks to Zen Living Realty. Zen Living Realty's mission is to mindfully serve, connect, and positively impact their customers, partners, and community through their Zen approach to real estate. Their vision is to be the most trusted real estate brokerage in the Central Florida area. You can reach Zen Living Realty at zenlivingrealty.com or by calling 407-800-2717. And finally, we'd also like to give a special thanks to Support Tech Staffing. Support Tech Staffing is an innovative staffing agency built on the principle of caring about their employers and employees as they navigate these new workforce and workplace challenges. If you're an employer, they want to be your human resources partner and help with the changes needed during the pandemic. If you're a candidate, they want to become your lifelong career agent to help you grow into your fullest potential. Support Tech prioritizes support over volume, integrity over profits, and will treat your business and your career as if it was their own. You can learn more at supporttechstaffing.com. That's SUPPORTEK staffing.com. And now we return you to this week's episode of The Authentic Spiritual Journey with your host, Reverend Cynthia Alice Anderson.
Vibrations of love. And some say love is a verb. But much deeper than that, love is a vibration. It is that energy that stirs the soul and opens up the heart. Vibrations of love call out to the divine that connects us with the beauty of life and the oneness of it all. I need not to say it with words, although it is always nice to hear, but greater still is to feel it. Vibrations of love lift me higher, and I fill the empty spaces within the soul. It is the divine in its purest essence. It is me at the height of my being. I am vibrations of love.
Thank you so much, Sister Jenna, for sharing that with us. That whole piece put me in my heart space. And yes, vibrations of love.
Oh, boy, don't we need it? When I did that with Grammy Award winner Ricky Cage, it was something that I knew was so timely. And what I like about it, it's like a meditation fusion. So you don't have to get so zen that you can't function in the world. I want you to function in the world and still be zen.
Yes, yes. I believe that's what we're struggling to do right now. I think our whole world is trying to find this balance. And for you and I, that's good because that's what we're here to do and we're here to serve and, you know, to have our lives be examples, you know, of living from that place of love. And as you say, be in the world. I think we're moving from religiosity, which to me is about following a set of dogma or rules and then trying to get around those. And we're moving more into this integration of our lives being a place of spirituality, a place of sacredness, and realizing that all life, all work, all being in the world is meant to be sacred, is, you know, meant to be lived from the space of the heart.
Yeah, and the irony is we have to go through what we're going through because it's all a part of the journey.
Yes, yes, yes. We can't circumvent the process, right?
It's like, we're so funny, aren't we? It's, there's one part of us that I just want to live to be free and happy and have everything work out for me. And when we are in that state, we become so complacent that we become really basically no more enthused about life. We just take, and we don't think anymore about giving. And then a crisis comes, or like the election, or like, you know, all these calamities that are happening globally around the world. And they wake you up. Why? Because now you are living more of purpose. You're bringing things that you deeply believe in action. And so now it is awakened in you, and you're no longer willing to be complacent. So I'm still, you know, in that query mode as to why so many of us wait for trauma to help us to grow. I want to grow with love.
Right. I know. I know. And I think you're right, too. I mean, I think there is a divine working out. And I do think it seemed to have been necessary because it wasn't happening otherwise. You know, I was recently visiting with some family members, and one of my siblings said, oh, you know, I don't know, he was talking about something several years ago, and he goes, oh, you know, that was back before I knew the names of all the cabinet members. And he got, you know, and basically what he was saying, he went on to say, you know, I was so asleep before, and I did not have a clue. And so it's not just about waking up as we keep returning to the political stuff, but that has been a trigger. It's not really about the political, but the political stage, I think, has been the kind of the flashpoint for what are we going to do? How are we going to grow and evolve out of this? And how are we going to, you know, as you say, navigate, you know, this aspect of the journey? But I agree that it must have been necessary, because people that were not awake before are awake or awakening now to more and more love, to more and more truth. So I do want to make sure and focus on that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. I think I might be mistaken, and anyone can correct me. I don't mind being corrected. But the Latin derivative of the word politics means to be polite. And I think that we have lost sight of that level of diplomacy,
yes,
not only with ourselves. You know, the first place that we lose it is with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So then it can't help but spill out in our relationships with one another. And I think when we get ugly enough with each other, there has to be this road to Damascus that we all have to get on, where we do a big turnaround and go, I don't think this is where I want to go anymore. This is not who I want to be. And it's just the time. It's the time that we're in. But I'll tell you this, Cynthia. I do believe that we are now feeling this urge to perform what we call in Indian culture, good karma.
Oh, yes.
That I feel that there is a need. In the West, we call it living a life of purpose. In the East, we call it karma, good karma. That the more charity I do, the more goodness that I give into my relationships, with the way I make my money, spend it, all of that comes back to me as an insurance policy on the soul.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so if what we're witnessing in the United States of America and the world at large is a result of our choices, is a result of the quality of our thoughts, is a result of the mentality that we have either hidden or not hidden from each other or from ourselves, then the same law will be true that if I begin to step up and be more benevolent with my pure motives, good wishes, pure feelings, and will that not come back to me, to my city, to my family, to my country, and ripple out? Of course it will. So what we need now is an awakening for 8 billion people to believe in good karma.
Right. And
I know it's not that many, but, you know, just a few.
Just a few to realize the law of cause and effect is really a law. Yeah, and that we want to live from love. Yes, and I think what makes that difficult for the individual, especially the individual that's not heard the type of things, you know, that you and I talk about all day, every day. So I still can't believe some people haven't heard of it as hard as you and I are working, that's for sure. But when people don't, you know, there's a larger teaching, a larger understanding of all of that. I think it's hard to see how the individual actions are relating to the collective, because all they hear is what's so bad in the collective. So I think you're right to learn to live from love, as you say, perform good acts of karma, living life on purpose, giving to things we believe in, using our dollars, you know, in places we want to support. These are all.
Yeah, there was a time I used to think that really I was going to change the world. And I'll tell you the story. There was once this priest that was sent out and he thought he was going to change the world and nobody would listen to him. So then he went to a country and he's like, I'm going to change this country. And he goes out and nobody listens to him. And then he goes, well, forget this country. I'm just going to go to a state, you know. So he goes to change the state and nobody, just two or three people listen to him. And he's like frustrated, Cynthia. And he's like, what's wrong with people? I'm here to change your life. Then he goes to a little city and he sits there and he's, you know, giving his message. I'm about to change your life for good and take you to Jesus or to God or wherever you want to go. Nobody listens. Two, three little old ladies. And then he goes to his house and he goes, what is it, God? I mean, you sent me out to change your flock and nobody's listened. He says, I never sent you out to change my children. I sent you out to change yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so where I am right now is that I really know that my path that has been chosen for me is and will continue to be a path of my own transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And within my transformation, if it happens to inspire another person, well, isn't that lovely? Mm. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, Jesus did not have a cell phone, nor did he have Facebook or Instagram.
Right.
Where he was so caught up in how many likes and followers he was going to get in order to be the person that would impact a billion people's mentality, he didn't have any of that.
Right.
All he had was the interest to find his purpose and, you know, his meaning, and also to say that what was going on in the land isn't right,
mm-hmm.
isn't right, and that we should be kinder
mm-hmm.
and more respectful to one another. And look, his message 2,000 years later is still making an impact.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I'm glad for everything you said. And I was just thinking in terms of your process, because you do give out so much. And I know you are on a path of transformation. Because I know you, you know, personally as well as professionally, I know that your journey has taken turns like all of ours has. So how do you, in your own journey, like get your own support and nurturing? What do you do for yourself?
I have a good circle of friends. I just recently, a few months ago, was gifted with a health opportunity that is pretty serious, but serious in terms of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't serious for me. And I immediately turn to my friends and say, look, you guys better pray me back to health because I'm too busy to deal with this. And I just don't have any time. And, you know, I did my surgery and whatever, and I'm fine. So I think it's important to have a good group of friends. Second thing is, as I mentioned earlier, I think it's important that we don't feel comfort in only the text or in just saying what we say. I think it's important that we observe if we are living the things that we're saying. And I know that I certainly do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing I think that is really vital, especially at this time and especially after the holidays and as we're moving into Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and all of these things, that I think it's important that we deepen a very, very pure, quiet, powerful connection and relationship to God.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that when we have a very intimate relationship with God, that relationship will not be hidden in your behavior. And I think that folks who are still struggling to build a relationship with the divine, what are some of the signs that you will witness is less love, less patience, less peace, less power, less kindness, less generosity. And all of that reveals signs, and we can't fool ourselves. I'm not remembering source. I'm not remembering mm-hmm. the way I was made in his
yes.
image. And I think that when we deepen this bond between the soul and God, the supreme soul, you're going to be fine. I don't care whatever drama is going on outside of you, you will be okay because it's the soul that needs to be taken care of more than anything else.
Yes, beautifully said. We did a show a while back, and we can end with this because it you summed it up beautifully that we there was a show we did a while back. There's a teaching in Unity called The Golden Key. I'm not sure if you're aware of it because I know you love Unity, but it's so simple. It was written several 75 years ago, I guess, that the author said, whatever the problem, you know, whatever might be bothering you, just forget the problem and focus on God instead. And it's one of the most powerful, time-proven spiritual practices to, you know, whatever's going on in your mind, in the world, in your finances, focus on God instead, because all the answers that you seek, all the things, you know, that you're fighting against are ultimately found, the answers are found in God. And so rather than struggling against something, you go to the source that is the answer. So I thank you so much for sharing with us today, Sister Jenna. As always, you are a gift. We love you and bless you in the work you're doing there and online in the Meditation Museum. Even though you're not in person, you're online, and that's where everyone is connecting now. So we appreciate you, we honor you, and the work you're doing. And we are here to support you, love you, and lift you up. So, and we see you too to continue to be healed, to have all the energy you need to do all the great work you're doing.
Thank you so much, Cynthia. And it's always been a blessing for me to be in your vortex with you, Dave, Shannon, everybody there. You are a bunch of the kindest, truest, most genuine people that I've met. And the world needs so many more of Cynthia's and Dave's and the Shannon's and so many of you. And I think that when folks actually tune in to our show, it's my wish that they would just travel. They just travel with you. Mm. They travel with you and recognize that where you're coming from is a place of your own journey and all own authenticity, which is your show. And then that's what we need. We need more genuinity and we need more truthfulness in order for us to not get caught up in the illusions and lose sight in ourselves. So I thank you all for the love and the care and the kindness, and everybody out there that's tuning in, make it a very special holiday. Please don't get caught up in all the drama. Know that you always have a choice. Either choose light or choose dark. But once you've made your choice, make sure that you know you have to settle with it for a long time. So it's entirely up to you. But my pure wish for you is that you turn up the volume of your light, especially as we approach the Christmas and the holiday season.
Thank you for joining us, dear friends. As always, your listening is a blessing to us. You are part of a spiritual family that is around the world in over 70 countries, over 100,000 downloads now. So blessings on the journey, dear friend. Know you are not alone, and we are blessed to be a part of your journey.
Yeah, and be on the lookout for an encore of a very special meditation that Sister Jenna did with Shannon, the What If meditation. We're going to roll that as an encore for this Friday's meditation, so be sure to tune in for that.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of The Authentic Spiritual Journey presented by Natural Awakenings Magazine, Zen Living Realty, and Support Tech Staffing. This channel is also made possible through the continued support of our angel patrons, Aggie Payton, Anna Evans, Arlene Meyer, Diana Cox, Leslie Williams, Nora Miles, Sean Kilgore, Susanna Garcia, and Taryn Tucker. If you'd like to support the channel as a patron on an ongoing basis or through a one-time gift, head over to experienceofthesoul.com/support. The Authentic Spiritual Journey is copyright 2020, Cynthia Alice Anderson, all rights reserved. Our theme music is composed by Dave Croft and used with permission from RR Hot Publishing. The Experience of the Soul podcast channel is a production of 818 Studios.